Patrick McDick coming to you from Saskatchewan here, and today we will be talking about agriculture.
Now, for those of you that don't know, October is Agriculture Month here in Saskatchewan, where we as producers try and take some extra time to get the story out to everybody out there of how we produce food and get it to the world.
And nowadays, with a plethora of people trying to switch over to a plant-based or synthetic protein source in their diet to save the environment, I want to talk to you for a minute about cattle and the environment. Now, this is the Bar R Ranch. It's one of thousands of mixed farming operations here in Saskatchewan, where we grow commodities that you eat, such as cereals, pulses, oil seeds, and beef.
But why? Why do we eat beef, Quick Dick? Well, not only is it delicious, but beef is a dense source of protein, zinc, iron, multiple B vitamins, and thirdly, it doesn't have a list of ingredients that you see in something like Beyond Meat like this that I can't even pronounce. Beef has one ingredient.
Cattle. Now, cattle aren't just an essential source of protein for our global food supply. They also actually play a critical role here in maintaining our environment. Let me explain.
Let's pretend this butcher paper, you know, the stuff we use to wrap delicious beef with, is roughly the square kilometers that represent the surface of the planet Earth, this place where we live, okay? Now let's take planet Earth and fold it in half. And then we are going to fold planet Earth in half once again. That gives us this, which represents all of the land on planet Earth. So then we take all of the land on Earth, we fold it in half, and then we fold it in half again. And that leaves us with this, the amount of land we have available on Earth for agriculture that we use to grow food for all of us to eat.
That's not a lot of land to feed 7.7 billion people off of, Quick Dick.
But wait, there's more. We have to take that land and we have to split it into about one-third, two-thirds, giving us two different kinds of land. We have arable land and we have marginal land. But Quick Dick, what's the difference?
Well, this is arable land, which means it's land that's suitable to farm conventional crops on, like cereals, pulses, oil seeds. Not only that, but it's an essential place for migrating birds to land in the fall and feed on their way south. And this is marginal land. It's land that we can't farm. There's maybe too many trees, maybe too many sloughs, or too many rocks, but do you know what we can grow on it? Cattle. And cattle graze in a herd. Now, think of it like mowing your lawn. If you don't mow your lawn for an extended period of time, eventually it grows really, really tall and it'll die. That big dead canopy makes it almost impossible for new grass to grow. And if grass isn't growing, it's not eating as much food. Can anybody tell Quick Dick what grass eats for food?
CO2.
You know what else can happen if we don't keep our marginal lands healthy like this using cattle? A big ugly release of carbon, which also poses a threat to local wildlife that we have around here by destroying their habitat. But if these beautiful creatures come through in a herd, they keep that canopy off the top of our marginal land so that the grass can continue to grow. It turns marginal land into land that we can utilize to contribute to the global food supply, along with keeping a healthy habitat for wildlife that make up crucial prairie ecosystems out here. And it acts like a massive carbon sink. So you see, cattle do a lot of things to help us manage our prairie marginal land here in Saskatchewan. And you're saying, well, Quick Dick, can cattle stay out on this land all winter? Well, no. Actually, winter can get pretty cold here in Saskatchewan.
Woo! She is windy today!
Ugh! So we grow a ration of feed here on a portion of our arable land that we chop into silage to feed through the winter months. Now along with silage, we grow feed barley out here because when it drops to minus 40 out here on the prairies, our cattle need extra energy to be able to stand up to the terrible environment that comes along with winter here in Saskatchewan. So when winter starts to set in, we'll move them back here to the feedlot where they've got ample shelter and water. But before they calve, we'll feed them out here so their manure is naturally spread back onto the arable land that we use to grow their feed rations. Cattle are like a big walking compost machine that produce beef as a result. Now when it gets really cold out, we'll take the straw from our feed barley and sometimes from our oat crops or even some of our cash crops like wheat and we'll use it as bedding here in the feedlot to keep them warm throughout the winter when it's really cold. So after the girls calve and we turn them back out to their lawnmower jobs on the marginal land, we clean out the feedlot and bring the manure out here and spread it on our arable land as a part of our soil health and fertilizer programs. Pretty neat how cattle help out our grain operation, hey? Want to see what else they can do?
So if you take the odd year like this one, for example, where we had quite a bit of hail damage throughout the growing season, and now we've got a nice late fall, we've got a producer's worst nightmare here, second growth. Now, most guys that grow crops don't have much of an option but to use a glyphosate or a different chemical here. But
we use cows on some of our fields that we have fenced that turn that pain in the butt second growth into not only protein that we can eat, but they turn it into organic fertilizer. Ew.
What about a completely hailed out pulse crop like what you see right here? Well, some people might see disaster, but if you have cattle, you see solution, where you turn it into feed and let the cattle turn it into organic fertilizer and a source of protein for us. What about a hailed out oat crop that you can't combine? Let the cows turn it into protein.
Think about crop rotations too. Now, this crop was previously canola. It's been underseeded to a forage legume like alfalfa. Farmers will use alfalfa in their crop rotation not only to naturally mitigate disease and weed problems, but also to naturally return nitrogen into their soil. Now you take all those benefits, plus the fact that alfalfa is very effective at storing carbon in the soil, it's also a source of nutrition for cattle to eat in the wintertime.
Okay, well, what about beer? And you're thinking, well, quick, Dick, you can't feed cattle beer. Well, of course you can't, but when breweries are done with the barley after they extract everything they need from it to make beer, whatever's left over gets fed to cattle.
Same thing with biofuels that are produced right here in Foam Lake. After the extraction process, the meal that's left over can be fed to cattle.
So what about screenings that are left over after we clean the seed that we're gonna use to plant our next crop with? Gets fed to cattle.
So cattle maintain natural ecosystems that sequester carbon. They work together with agriculture, fertilizer, and soil health practices, help support crop rotations,
eliminate food waste after extraction processes, and what we get in return are delicious steaks, burgers, hot dogs, briskets, and roasts. Sounds like a delicious way to help the environment.
I hope you see the importance of beef, my friends, and I hope you don't use just October to celebrate egg. I hope you do it all year long.
This is Quick Dick McDick signing off, reminding you, if you want to keep your environment healthy and great, next time you make a meal, make sure to put some beef on your plate. We'll catch you next time.